good news kind of week. It is a Super Bowl kind of day. It is an impeachment kind of about to be over kind of week. It's a Brexit is free at last, free at last. Thank the Queen, we're free at last. It's the Loftus Party podcast. I'm coming at you from the Long Island, and we got the Gimlet. I don't know where she's parked her behunkus in Camp Freedom, somewhere in the deep south, maybe from the swamp. I don't know.
The Confederacy, I hear.
The Confederacy. Oh my gosh. Somebody was just railing on the Dukes of Hazzard, and it made me angry. I can't remember what it was. That's just a little aside. I wasn't a huge Dukes of Hazzard fan as a child. However, there's no reason to take a big giant dump on the Dukes of Hazzard, you guys. We can relax. It's no longer on the air. No one should be threatened by the General Lee. It was a long time ago. Okay.
If you didn't have the Dukes of Hazzard, you wouldn't have Daisy Dukes.
That is true, and that's funny, but that's like a bunch of people who were defending the Dukes of Hazzard were bringing that up. And then you want to talk about disappointment, epic levels of disappointment. You're like, oh yeah, that's right, Daisy Dukes. And then you Google images of Daisy Dukes, and they're not at
some
all
what
we
shouldn't
think.
Be wearing them. Is that what you're saying?
She was gorgeous. She
oh,
was.
Oh, she was
beautiful. She
was. Catherine Bach.
Yeah, but those shorts they could have been a lot shorter. They could have been a lot shorter. It was not scandalous at all. You're like, wow,
well,
was that scandalous?
Shorter, though they become shorter. Just go to Walmart in the summer.
Yes, the Daisy Dukes of today are awesome. However, we're already off on a tangent, and this week, you guys, we're all about bringing you the highest level of free podcasts that the world can go with. So here's what we're gonna do. We're breaking the show up into three hunks. We're gonna do this for you because we are givers. We give back. So this is all we got some numbers in. It is a great weekend. It's Sunday. I don't care. It's always awesome when you don't give a rat's behunkus about the Super Bowl. So I'll be in that mode later on today. However, I'm super stoked about the way the impeachment thing is going. I'm super stoked about our president's approval numbers. And I do believe, well, the impeachment thing, hopefully that'll wrap up Wednesday. Hopefully that's all said and done yesterday. You guys have to go to theloftusparty.com or the Loftus Party at YouTube and see my little take on Mitt Romney and the way he voted. It's very funny. It's very funny. Okay, so Bloomberg got a new nickname. He's Mini Mike, which I think is hilarious. Trump is fantastic.
Short?
I guess so.
Or just shorter than Trump, because shorter than Trump isn't hard.
Shorter than Trump is the planet. That's planet
I know.
Earth. Trump is a tall fellow. Melania is a tall drink of water, but worth the
Barron's
climb. Barron's
taller than most grown men I know.
Barron's skying over both of them.
I know.
That kid, he's going to be, watch him, it would be hilarious. It'd be hilarious if he went and played in the NBA. That would be hilarious. Like, we're old and gray, and like, Barron Trump dunks for the win, and I don't know. Yeah, and the crowd goes wild. I don't know. We'll see.
I think his thing is golf. I think he golfs with his dad. Could be the next Tiger.
That height is a huge advantage. And that, listen, here's a little sad story from yours truly. Many moons ago, it was my plan. This is like in middle school years, junior high years. I fell in love with a game of tennis. Just fell in love with it. Started playing it relentlessly, practicing. I was focused. And I'm 5'8", and it's like I played competitively in high school, played a little bit after high school, and it's like it just sucks. Someone who's 5'8", badminton is great. Badminton is a great time. So is table tennis. Ping pong?
Oh, yeah, ping pong.
But these guys, these professional tennis players, you've got to be like 6 foot something. You just get so much of the racket speed. It's centrifugal force. So there's a little sad thing. I'm always I enjoy the tennis. What are we doing? Listen, I just announced we're going to stay focused. We're going to do this thing. Let's dig into some Trump numbers. Let's look at how the impeachment has affected, which has failed. Which has failed miserably, by the way.
Failed terribly.
However, well, you got to give credit to Adam Schiff. I saw him this morning on Face the Nation, and that dude, and this is what you got to do. This is what you got to do. He's just acting like, well, we won. We won. We presented our case. Everyone knows the president cheated. He's going to cheat again. He's already talking about the 2020 election and how they keep using the word cheat, 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 cheat over and over and over again, which is probably a good call on their part. I don't think it's going to work. And I don't know if it's resonating with the American people. You have some numbers. You're our smoking hot data miner.
This is so awesome because this just proves the point that nobody cares what Adam Schiff says. Nobody's listening. For example, America's overall satisfaction, how satisfied they are with everything, is higher than it's been since 2005.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that awesome? This is according to Gallup. This is their annual survey. And since 2017, like, everything's gone up. Everything. Well,
now, when
it's
you
insane.
Say, like, everything, is like, is this like the president's approval rating? Or is this like overall optimism with the American?
Overall quality of life. 84% are satisfied. Net satisfied increase is amazing. And this is since 2017. So every single metric since January 2017 of these has gone up. Nation's military strength and preparedness, opportunity to get ahead if you're working hard, up. These are all like metrics that are above 65%.
Wow.
The state of the nation's economy, up. Net satisfied points, all above 40. It's incredible. But what's even more funny than that?
Bring it.
Is that things like race relations have actually gotten better. People have a better opinion about race relations in this country than they did when Barack Obama left office, despite the fact we have a terrible racist in the White House.
See, that is very funny. However, I think it's one of those things that, like, it's very easy for me to say, you know, I don't know if you guys knew this about me. I am white. I am white, but I've always felt like it's tough. Like, race relations are tough. I think in a lot of instances, you're better off not shining a spotlight and looking for problems, because we are going. Here's what we want: we want to judge people on the content of their character and not on their skin color. And I think that, like, if you just, I don't know. I don't want to say anything too controversial, but, like, as much as they tried to call Trump a racist and all this stuff, he's done wonderful things for these poorer
really
communities. I'm sorry?
He's really bad at it.
Yeah, he must be. He must be. But you just feel like things are better. However, I know, you know, some of my black friends are, they insist, oh, it's worse. Oh, it's worse. But it goes back to my theory of the poison drink at the cocktail party, right? Oh, if you go to somebody and you go, listen, we're about to walk into a party, and someone in there is going to try to kill you, and it's probably going to be poison in one of the drinks. You're looking everywhere. Who is it? Who's trying to kill me? Is it this drink? Is it that drink? And so then you think poison is, even if there is poison in none of the drinks, and you're just at a regular party. That's where I want to live. I want to live in the regular cocktail party society. I don't want to live in the one of these drinks is poison.
But the media is telling you that over and over and over again. But let's just look at a couple of increases that I personally find phenomenal.
Yes.
The
let's
state
do
of the
that.
Nation's economy is up from 46 to 68%, a change of positive 22.
Damn.
Since inauguration.
That's since 2016, Trump is president.
Mm-hmm. Since
wow.
he was inaugurated January 2017.
Nice.
The nation's
up how much?
Terrorism is up 18 from 50% to 68.
Yup.
The nation's military strength and preparedness up 15. The way income is distributed and wealth is distributed up 8.
That would have been, it would have been a bigger number, but some rich guy stole some.
I know, but this is just insane.
Yes.
I mean, if you read these numbers, and this is Joe Smith and Nancy Jones, right? Gallup picks up the numbers and surveys a bunch of people. This is what Americans actually think. This is not a change election at all. What is it James Carville said? It's the economy, stupid?
It's the economy, stupid. I'm James Carville. I'm more snake than man. I'm half reptile. That's my. I very rarely get to whip out my James Carville impression. So you've sadly opened up that door. It is.
I did not know you had one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's, I tell you, once you start doing it, it's hard to stop. It's hard to stop. I think he's still married to that Marlene lady, the
are
former
they?
conservative.
He
I think they are.
He left the Republican Party. She's now a libertarian. She
oh,
she stopped at Trump.
Good for her. That's where I draw the line. Succeeding. That's where I. That's where I want to be a. I want to be a conservative, but I want to lose. I want to lose all the time. Holy smoke! I started doing that stupid impression. I shouldn't have done it. However, it is it with like many polls. I have to think it's probably a little low. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, it could be, but I mean, Gallup is one of the gold standards for polling on issues and for polling on public sentiment, and they usually match with outcomes. So, I mean, there's really, even the things that are still negative are still up, and most of them are things like the quality of public schools. That's not a federal issue. That's a state issue, and the only thing that the government can do to improve that is give people more choice and get out from under the unions that screw everything up.
And that's a tough row to hoe. That is a tough row to hoe.
But
however,
I mean,
from now until election day, it's going to be doom and gloom coming out of, you know, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. It's going to be, this is hopefully the last dying throes of here's the news as we see it, and we're going to try to manipulate you into all is horrible, all is horrible. Even though evidently, according to those numbers you were just reading, people across America are like, it's going pretty good. I feel pretty good about things.
Yeah. And people actually feel more positive about the potential outcomes for their children. And that is a huge indicator in this country. But the other thing the media is completely ignoring is this data from Trump rallies. Brad Parscale, his Trump campaign manager, does an excellent job of telling the media, guys, you need to look over here, and they completely ignore it. And the biggest reason it's important is because somewhere always between 10 and 20% of the people that register for the rally haven't voted but once in the last four elections, which means when they poll registered and likely voters, they're not polled.
Yeah. I think it was the rally in, I know he did one in New Jersey.
And that
I think
was crazy.
I think a couple weeks ago he did one in what, Minneapolis or Minnesota or Wisconsin, somewhere, maybe Wisconsin. It seemed cold. It seemed chilly. And it might have been Brad Parscale or someone else tweeted out like 56% of the people there weren't even registered Republicans.
Yeah.
Like over half the crowd is just like, yeah, four more years.
In New Jersey, home of Jerry Nadler. New Jersey, okay?
Yeah.
They had 158,632 requested tickets, and there were 92,841 distinct signups.
Dang.
They only had room for 7,000.
It is, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And listen, I just want to reiterate this for the record. It's like Trump is the recipient of so much pent-up frustration, and someone was going to come along and be the recipient of this. Someone was going to be that lightning rod and have the guts to say something close to the right thing. And someone, so I just want to make sure nobody gets it twisted. It's not like these people, but everyone I know, myself included, who was like, yep, Trump's the man. We've been dying for someone to do something like this for the longest time. It goes back to my Mitt Romney video and all that stuff. It's like we're tired of like, oh, this is the candidate, this is the guy that's gonna, yeah, Mitt Romney, and then he gets punched like one time and folds like a deck chair. He was gonna be the president of the Utah Origami Club.
Trying
Yeah.
to lose women.
Yeah.
Canada's blown up.
Gone.
Gone.
Bye. And so finally you got, listen, Trump is, I, and I don't, and I'm so happy, and this is kind of horrible to say, but like this coronavirus thing, we'll get to that more in the next segment, but we'll dig down on the whole Hunan province part of it all, which you've got some, yeah. Anyway, I'm glad Trump is in a leadership position right now. My boy will close the doors. He will close the borders. Like I didn't want to mess around with Ebola. I thought that was crazy. And we're like, oh yeah, people, yeah, they're still going back and forth. Are you high? Are you crazy?
Right.
I don't want to play games with any of this coronavirus crap. So yeah, shut it down.
Shut it
And then
down.
you have all these doctors like the regular flu kills more people. Okay, that's fine. Good for the regular flu. Good for the regular flu. But let's
Why do we think China is telling us the truth is the question. But
Yes. Yes.
one more set of numbers before we leave the good news section.
Quick, yep.
Yeah, on the 31st of January, Rasmussen put out its daily approval numbers. Overall likely voter, which is a much better poll than registered voter, approval rating for the president is at 50%. That's higher than Barack Obama's was at the same point going into 2012. Indie voters, independents who don't register for a party, also 50%.
It's
Democrats approve at 25%, and black likely voters strongly approving of the president is at 34, and overall at 43, and other non-white likely voters approval of the president is at 53%. If he
wow.
gets a third of those numbers, the Democratic Party is over.
I think it's, and we might have touched up on this either last week or the week before. It's too funny, and it's ironic, really. It's not funny. Nobody, don't worry about driving your car. You're not going to laugh hysterically. But when Trump got the nomination, it was all gloom and doom, and everybody's like, uh-oh, that's the end of the Republican Party. There's going to be a huge split in the Republican Party, and I don't think the Republican Party's ever been this unified, and maybe not in my lifetime. But it's ironic that they're gonna have to. Bernie's doing great. I cannot wait for tomorrow to see what happens with the Iowa caucus. And if they screw over Bernie again, then you've got a huge split, in the Democrat Party, which it's like they are total, it's totally the boomerang party. It is everything. You know, everything they throw at Trump comes back and smacks them in the face. Oh, you're going to break up the Republican Party. It's going to split. And I don't think it looks good for the Democrats. I'm not crying about it. I ain't crying about it. I want to
It's
get back.
actually quite entertaining.
It is. It
Yep.
is. I want to get back really quickly with those numbers in the African American community with Trump's approval rating. What was the previous number? If you
You
have
mean
that,
when he
if you
was
have that
elected, how
handy.
much of the vote did he get?
Well, no, like the number in the poll now.
A year ago it hit 21% and they freaked out. He had, I think, about 8% in 2016.
All right, so he was at 8 in 2016. A year ago, he was 21. And then what's the most recent number?
Overall approval is 43 and strong approval is at 34.
Ha 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 ha!
If he gets half of the 34 number, the Democratic Party is over. And other non-white likely voters' approval is at 53%. If he gets half of that of the other non-white voters, the Democratic Party is over.
That is the spot right there. You guys, we're 20 minutes in. This is where we would put a little advertisement for a wonderful product or service. It would go right about here.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy.
And then we would come back with our second segment. Okay, we got to rip into Don Lemon. Boy, did you hear my voice crack on that?
I did.
That was a Peter Brady moment or a
was.
Whatever. Changes. The Don Lemon thing. Now, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
There is a guy. And I believe his name is Rick Wilson.
GOP strategist that gave you people like Mitt Romney, and his candidate also lost to Aiken in South Carolina. That's how effective.
I will say this about Rick. I don't care for the gentleman. All I know about him is his Twitter account and seeing him on MSNBC. And it's like, you know, he goes into Camp Bill Kristol. He's the never Trumper. And it's like, yeah, good for you, buddy. Good for you. Go do your thing. He's like, and it's like Jennifer Rubin. It's like, you're not, shame on CNN, shame on MSNBC for having these people who are not really the voices of the conservative movement, the right wing movement, whatever you have it. So Rick Wilson was on Don Lemon's program, and there was some other guest, looked like a guy of like Pan Asian descent. It doesn't really matter.
But Rajahat Ali.
But Rick Wilson, and this is why I didn't do a video on it. Like, listen, Don Lemon's an opinion show. That's you know, you and I, Gimlet, we've discussed that a million times. It's an opinion show. It's not news. And I'm not a fan of Don Lemon. I'm not a fan of Rick Wilson. I don't know the other guy that much. However, I have been on camera before, and it's been an important thing, and someone says something funny, and you just break. You just crack up. Rick Wilson, I couldn't help. I found it amusing. I know exactly what made Don Lemon laugh. Rick Wilson had this joke. He's like, Trump probably couldn't find the Ukraine if it had on the map a big giant U and a picture of a literal crane. Like, and it used instantly flash back to those like in second grade, those, you know, picture puzzles. Put these two images together and it'll make a word, right? Like an eyeball and then somebody washing. And it was that, like, I remember when he said it, I know that is exactly why Don Lemon started laughing. U plus crane equals Ukraine. And maybe he had been up late at night. Maybe he was sleep deprived. But I'm on Team Lemon on this one. He was I guarantee he was laughing at U plus crane equals Ukraine. The problem is, when he started his uncontrollable fit of laughter, then Rick Wilson and the other dude started riffing. You know, it's like, you dumb elitist with your facts and your reading. You dumb elitist with your maps. And that was very telling. That was very telling.
The one that really got me was the credulous boomer Rubes. Like, if you wanted to put my father and Rick Wilson in a battle of wits and intelligence, my father would kick his ass from Washington, D.C. to Pensacola.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and I've heard this said, and it's kind of how I felt when I first saw the clip, as far as how they all riffed on after Lemon initially lost it, right?
Yeah.
As far as how they all riffed on and putting on those accents and everything else, that's like sidestep to how they talked about African Americans in the 60s.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And this is why, you've completely nailed it on the head. Oh, yeah, absolutely. However, the ad for the YouTube channel, you pick up a video.
The Trump ad they put out?
No. Mine. Oh, okay. The Loftus Party is Andrew Jackson was a hillbilly badass and we love him. The preamble to that, whole show that I did for the History Channel and that I do in my stand-up is like, hillbillies are awesome. They're awesome. And then I do a funny voice and all this other stuff. And then I gently chastise the audience for like, okay, so we're all laughing at that, right? So hillbillies are it's the last group of people that everyone feels free to make fun of. That everyone feels free, oh, I can make fun of that person. They have an accent. And then, everybody feels bad. And then I go into, thank God for hillbillies. They saved this nation multiple times. Hillbillies are the best. And so I'm very pro Southern. However, that's exactly what Rick Wilson and that other guy did. The whole, you rubes. And that's why, and it's too funny, but it's we were just saying it in the previous segment. It's like, we're not rubes. It's not like Trump is some snake oil salesman saying something new. Trump is saying nothing new. Trump is saying something that this entire nation, the vast majority of the people across this nation, have been feeling in their hearts. It's like that Jordan Peterson says it. It's like, you just know this to be true. Like, listen, I know they're telling us there's only 11 million illegal immigrants here. I know they're telling us that. There's no way that's true.
No way.
And then all of a sudden Yale comes out. Yeah, it's more like 22 million. You're like, thank you. Does that make Yale racist? Is Yale a cult of personality? Are we all enraptured from the – No. And it's the same thing with Trump. And I love it that this guy doesn't get it. I love it that Rick Wilson just goes, oh, Trump just goes out there and starts talking about drinking beer and having his gun and ding dong dig it. Yeah, keep going, buddy. Keep going. Because,
it's super offensive if you stop and think about the actual policies and the way that the Democrats use certain groups of people to achieve their political objectives.
Mm-hmm.
And we all sit here and watch it happen, right? You know, the gun rally in Virginia was going to be full of white supremacists, right? Trump was going to start World War III a couple weeks ago, right? You sit here and you listen to this, and if you are a sentient being who goes, let me take a little harder look at that, because I can't live in a soundbite world. I need more information than that.
I could totally live in a soundbite world, but go ahead.
Yeah, I can't. If you lived in a soundbite world, even a Fox News soundbite world, right? You're only getting half to three quarters of what's going on.
Yes.
It basically goes back to what you said. You know in your heart what you just heard cannot possibly be the case.
Right.
And so when it fails, what's starting to get really frustrating is nobody's held accountable, right? Like, where are all the people that were, like, trying to make parents really upset that their children were going to be drafted going to World War III? There were actually people putting that out like that was a thing, like that was going to happen. Are they still writing for the New York Times?
Everyone is.
None of these people ever, all the things they got wrong about Russiagate, all the things they've gotten wrong about Ukraine Gate, the outright lies, right?
Yes.
That Ukraine interfering in the election is a conspiracy theory. It's not. And I even hear people like upping now and saying, well, not as bad as Russia. Nobody has ever explained to me what Russia actually did, other than some Facebook ads. What Ukraine did was actually worse.
Yeah, $35,000 on some Facebook ads. Exactly. Ukraine working, the official government of Ukraine running stuff through the Ukrainian embassy and the DNC, who were running it through a law firm to make it look like it was on the up and up. They were getting help. And now you'll get thrown off Twitter for bringing up the Ukraine.
Black Ledger, provided by a Ukrainian member of parliament, put Paul Manafort in jail.
And that is terrifying.
Exactly my point.
All of those guys up on process crimes. And that's where...
General Flynn.
Oh, my Lord. Is he still fighting that? Didn't he change it? He's trying to change his plea.
He pulled his plea. But then Carter Page, who's never been charged with anything, whose life is ruined.
Yeah, I wonder what the future holds for that guy. That's a very, very interesting thought. And it's a very interesting thought. Like, what is, like, Manafort didn't register as working on behalf of a foreign agent.
Closed the case. They needed new evidence to reopen the case once he went to work for Trump. And the Ukraine provided the Black Ledger.
Yeah, yeah. However, it's...
It was never used in court because it was crap.
Worth noting for our smart, sexy listeners that I think he was working for the Podesta group at that time.
Oh, yes.
It was Tony Podesta, John Podesta's brother, who also failed to disclose that he was working on behalf of a foreign government. Both of these guys did the same thing. They didn't fill out a form.
Oddly, the Podesta's firm closed the day the news broke. Gone.
And it's like the Podesta group got an email from the FBI going, hey, dude, you forgot to fill out this form. He's like, oh, yeah, our email was down that day. Give us a minute. We'll fill it out. So they got the benefit of the doubt. Nobody goes to jail. And it's right back to Wutch's lady who had the chauffeur who was a Chinese spy.
Oh, I know.
For a couple decades.
But I think that call from the FBI went completely differently.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Tony, shut it. Shut it down.
Yeah, you'll get in trouble.
I think there was an advance call, but it sounded a little different.
However, but like John, oh my God, like Manafort and everything I've heard, and I'm just being honest from people I've talked to and people I know in circles are like, yeah, Manafort, yeah, that guy was kind of iffy. But he was the muscle man. He was the muscle man that you wanted in the convention to make sure people didn't change their votes when they were selecting the nominee. And that's what Trump hired him for. Hey, Manafort, come in.
Oh,
make
yeah.
sure none of these pansies change their vote. And it's right. Like, I feel bad for Flynn. I feel bad for Carter Page. I feel bad for Manafort.
Papadopoulos.
Oh, my God. There's another dude that is just... And, like, what becomes of them? What becomes of them? It's horrible to think about.
If you look at Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, right? General Flynn was a public figure. He was Obama's DNI. They'd been after him for years because he opposed the Iran deal. Publicly.
Yes.
While he worked for Obama. That was problematic. It was problematic for everybody else that did it, too. Paul Manafort had lived in the public eye. He was very visible, in the Republican Party for a while. He was a public persona. If you look at Carter Page and George Papadopoulos, they were literally volunteers. They were private individuals.
Yes. And normally...
And their lives have been ruined because they volunteered on a campaign event.
I really wonder if there's like a GoFundMe or somebody has to be, but like I'm not even There was a guy. There was a guy.
He is suing, like, for money, not a dollar.
Okay, good. Good for him. Good for him. There was a guy in the entertainment business back in the 1920s, in the silent movie age, and his name, his screen name was Fatty Arbuckle. And Fatty Arbuckle. Yeah, he was a party animal. He was a big guy. He was like the original Chris Farley, and he got wrongly accused of raping some girl with a Coke bottle, and that was the end of him. That was the end of Fatty Arbuckle. However, and it came out in the press. No, it didn't come out in the press, but it did. Was reported that it wasn't true, but it was too late. It was too late. His life was just shattered. And I think Chaplin maybe hooked him up with some work. Buster Keaton might have given him a couple of roles, but he could never be like front and center again. He could never be funny and shine like he used to. So I'm wondering, like with the Paul Manaforts and the Carter Pages and the Papadopoulos, who's going to be their Charlie Chaplin? Who's going to be their... You know, what do? Do you go work at Staples? Do you get a job in the administration? Because that's, I'm literally like, what, they're every day. Like, what is their day to day like? How are they paying the bills?
Yep. Well, and maybe they do get something in the administration, but not until a second term, right? I mean, it, as Barack said, I'll have more flexibility after the election.
Well, that will be. And I'll say that here, too, just to say it out loud, is that I very much look forward to a second term of Trump when he doesn't have to think about getting reelected, when it is Trump unleashed. I think right now we've been dealing with Donald Trump, the scientist, and soon he'll be reelected. And then we'll see the effects of the gamma radiation, and we will be treated to Hulk Trump.
I'm hoping I see deficit cutting, spending restraint Trump at that point, where he can that do a shutdown is... and not, like, fix Social Security, fix Medicare.
I am all for it.
Yeah, that, and that is like take a freaking anything you can do.
Right now, it's like a with the whole budget and the spending and all that stuff. It's like getting an exam. You're like, it's not. I don't like it. However, we have to go through this horrible malarkey. Haha, malarkey, Joe Biden. We have to go through it to get the body healthy. You know, it's like everyone. You just know it in your bones. We have to make stuff as a country. We have to make stuff. We need to bring back manufacturing jobs. We need to make stuff in this country. We want lower taxes. Okay, so he got the tax cut, and manufacturing jobs are coming back. Yeah, and then they had a giant omnibus spending package a couple months ago that was just ridiculous. That was just fiercely ridiculous and out of control.
Personal assessment of that is he refuses to stop rebuilding the military. I mean, Barack Obama in the sequester just decimated it.
Yes.
Just decimated it because he would cut military spending to they would cut military spending to spend money on other things. So Trump will not give up the military funding, and I hate it, but he also won't go toe to toe and say, we're not spending money on this. Take it back. He won't push the shutdown again, because even though he put forth the most reasonable proposal to end the last shutdown, it was still Trump's shutdown. And that's just a very hard political place to be. Whereas if you're not going to be reelected, if it's your last term,
you can go whole hog and make some real cuts. And that's what it's like, you know, it's like an exam. It's like, yes, the doctor has his, he's checking you right now to see if you have a hernia. So it's going to be a little awkward. He's going to roll your balls around in his fingers. However, we're going to check your lungs, your heart.
Right.
All that stuff is getting good. And then we'll get around to this other stuff. But that omnibus was just insane. And I wasn't even prepared to go there. You got to get through X, Y, and Z, and then skadoosh. I really, really... Trump Unleashed will be fantastic. And America knows.
And the meltdown will be fantabulous.
It will be. It really will be. And we just have to hope. Listen, the guys, the dude's delivered. We're getting the good judges on the courts. We're getting good judges on the Supreme Court. We got Mick Mulvaney working in the background, trying to make government smaller. You got that going on. You got manufacturing jobs coming back. You've got opportunity zones and bad neighborhoods and all this stuff. And hopefully the wall and some immigration reform and making sure that illegals aren't coming over from everywhere just to have a baby here. So the baby's automatic. All of it. All of the above. And the elections will be on the up and up. And then he can just go... Bango. Now we're cutting spending. If you guys want to have Social Security and all that good stuff, we're going to have to cut some spending. Bango. Get that deficit under control. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. You know what this would be a good time for?
Another ad.
Oh, my Lord. I wonder what this one will be for. I've got my fingers crossed for Viagra.
Oh, they actually have that one.
I hope they do. I hope they do.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
My buddy Chad Prather. We're back in the show, by the way. My buddy Chad Prather has a very successful show over at The Blaze, and I think they're it's one of the erectile dysfunction companies does his.
Okay.
he's a happy guy. All right, so here's what we're doing. We're going to this is going to be more of like entertainment section. I promised you guys I actually listened to the podcast. I'm a fan of the podcast. Not only do I enjoy doing the show, I enjoy listening to it and trying to improve. And that's why we're doing the whole segments and all that good stuff. I promised you guys at the top of last week's show a little behind the scenes look at Gutfeld. And I don't know if I promised a backstage look at The Five. But really, you know, The Five, it is what it is. There is no real, everyone's very cool. And I'm very appreciative. I got the call last week. I know everyone over at Fox is traveling. They've got people down in Miami for the Super Bowl. They got people going to New Hampshire. They got people in Iowa. They're all over the board. I have to think that world headquarters is almost a ghost town. But really, it's strange. It's not strange. It's like whoever does the hiring does a really good job over there. The first time I've been lucky enough to co-host The Five, like four times. And I got the call last week. Hey, there might be a thing with Greg Gutfeld's travel. Can you be on standby? Absolutely, I'll go in. And it's like, okay, it's a live show, and there's a lot of you know pressure with that the first time going in, but. Perino, Jesse Waters and, you know, Katie Pavlich and even Juan Williams. Juan was very nice the very first time I did it. Like, I could almost see, like, he could have made mincemeat of me. He could have just, like, come over the top, welcome the new kid, bang, 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 and just destroyed me. But he laid off. It was like a training session. And throwing it to, you know, you got to throw it to commercial. You got to keep everything going. So, listen, the five, and I don't know who pitched that show to Fox. I want to think it was Gutfeld who did that. It's a fun show. It's a fun show, and one that hopefully I'll get better at if I'm given the opportunity to do it again. So the behind the scenes look at Gutfeld, that was a lot of fun. Here's what everyone always asks me. I went to a live event. Brian, oh gosh, the guy from Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. Brian Kilmeade did a live event. He does this really great 90-minute live show. He's written so many books, and he's like me. Like, we dig history. Like, I do that thing about, you know, Andrew Jackson was a hillbilly badass. We love him. That's about the Battle of New Orleans. And Kilmeade has written a book about the battle. So anyway, he invited me out, and so I went. And the first question I always get when and if people recognize me, do you know Greg Gutfeld? Oh, do you know Greg Gutfeld? Have you been on the Gutfeld? And people can't believe, oh, you've never been on the Gutfeld show. So a couple weeks ago, I did it, and it was so much fun because the pressure is really on Greg. He's got to be, you know, that's his show. Shalhoub does hilarious Adam Schiff bits. And seriously, listen, if you guys, if anything really freaky, I would probably tell you about it, but it was just a good time. And it's what I like about entertainment. We're in the green room. Tyrus is back there. Cat Timpf comes in, just kind of, hey, how's it going? There's a nice little spread. Gutfeld comes in like a whirling dervish. Oh, I'm so glad you could do the show. It's going to be a good time. The audience is just ready. He's got a pretty good sized live audience. He could probably double that. Tickets for that show are sold out through April. You can't get in. It is legitimately a hot ticket.
Wow.
And the audience is ready to go. Greg is he's a funny dude. He's a smart dude. Tyrus is funny. Cat is super funny, and it's like it's all different sensibilities. And it's a great time that he does an hour. I hope to get invited back. And this goes back to what we were talking about in the previous segments, where this is something that Americans, we've just, you just feel it. You're like, I know they're trying to make us feel like weirdos, like the mainstream media. They're trying to make us feel like weirdos and outcasts and like, oh, we're the nutty. But we are the majority. I'm trying to dial up, what the heck, where is the tweet? The ratings for Gutfeld, and I just want to make sure everyone knows I'm being abundantly clear. I don't claim any of the success for this. This is like Greg's built something pretty awesome. They've got almost 3 million viewers. It's number one show on cable on Saturday night in its time slot. And more importantly, in the key advertising demo, the 23 to 54, the big. So it's not like it's the number one. People can't, you can't dismiss it. You can't go, oh yeah, there's a lot of people, but I'm sure they're all 80. Oh yeah, it's a lot of people, but they're knocking on death's door. No, this is 2.8 million people, and the majority of them are in the key advertising demo. So that is, to me, that's something that everyone needs to be screaming from the top of their lungs. It's fantastic and wonderful.
Absolutely. So that's, and I mean, it's that, how you put this, for that 25 to 54 demo, which I fall smack in the middle of, that sort of sarcastic anti-authoritarian vibe he has really works.
Yes. Yeah. It's a, It's a good show. It's a fun show. And it is popular.
I mean, I love him on The Five, too. His little monologues on The Five, I'm always cracking up.
He's very good at that. You know what it is?
Very good.
It's he's very good with a quick metaphor. And that's something I'm trying to get better at the quick.
Emulate?
Well, not emulate, but it's a great skill. You know who else?
I think
Adam Carolla is really great.
Oh, yeah.
Adam Carolla can have a super entertaining metaphor at the drop of a hat. Carolla will be like, you know what it is? It's like that crazy old lady on your street. That's what, and it's like, wow, what a great way to make that point. What a great way to make that point.
Yep.
So, and then I'll tell you guys this story too.
It is.
Fabulous. And it's one that I sorely lack. I'm good at, I can do a few impressions, but I need help in the metaphor department. This one is just us patting ourselves on the back for being ahead of the curve. This was probably, I want to say 4 months ago, that it came out about the whole Johnny Depp Amber Heard thing. Johnny Depp was vilified in the press and the cancel culture. They were out for his head, and this is a great thing. You guys, whenever you find yourself part of a mob, you stop and try to figure out what's really going on. Mobs are even online mobs. It's very so. Amber Heard is like, oh, Johnny Depp did X, Y, and Z, and everybody's like, that's it. Get rid of Johnny Depp. He lost. They're going to do another Pirates of the Caribbean, and it ain't going to have Johnny Depp in it because of what Amber Heard claimed happened. And everybody's like, oh. And then I remember he was coming out at Comic-Con, and people couldn't believe, because he was in that Harry Potter movie, Watch This Lady. Who's the lady? J.K. Rowling. J.K. Rowling's like, no, don't cancel him. He gets to be at the event. He gets to be. And everybody, they were ready to cancel J.K. Rowling for having Johnny Depp at this live event for this new movie. So J.K. Rowling must have known what eventually has come out. And we said it on this show months ago. Johnny Depp was the victim here. Johnny Depp was the victim. And he just very quietly, he kept it to himself. It's got to be it's a tough spot to be in. And I think he's handled this whole thing with class and with dignity. And good for you, Johnny Depp. But there's a new deposition that just came out. This girl has testified. Her name is Tara Robert. Tara Robert, mm-hmm. And she was witness to some of the stuff that Amber Heard was doing to Johnny Depp. And I don't know all the details, but it really Amber Heard. I wonder if you'll see her in the next Aquaman movie. I wonder
really?
If you'll see her.
That bad?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely verbal abuse. There was some physical abuse. And then in the deposition that she gave, and I got a link to it. I tweeted it at the Loftus Party's Twitter account, the Loftus Party on Twitter. Just the way she was hanging out with Amber Heard all weekend, everything was not cool. She was screaming at Johnny Depp. He just wanted to, he's like, just let me go. Just let me. She had stolen the keys to the vehicle, so he couldn't leave. It was really bad news. And then it goes on to, they're in Miami for a photo shoot, and everything is all hunky dory and everything's great. And she's with them the whole time. And then suddenly, there's a mark on Amber Heard's face, and then Amber's, oh, he did X, Y, and Z. And no, he didn't do X, Y, and Z. Amber just made it happen. So it's
men who hit gross. Men who hit are gross, and women who hit are just as gross. That's not how we solve problems.
Absolutely. And it goes back to, listen, I want to, when someone says something happened, yes, I want to believe you. However, I also want evidence, and I want to make sure that a guilty person isn't going free, and an innocent person is getting in trouble. I think it's worth mentioning. So, everyone who was part of that whole "let's get rid of Johnny Depp" take a chill.
Johnny Depp an apology.
Yeah. And listen, he's a movie star, but I guess he probably spends money as fast as he makes it. And like, I'm not gonna I don't know how bad I'm gonna feel for Depp, but that's a franchise. That's
Well,
Pirates
you
of the
just, yeah, I
Caribbean.
mean, I feel bad for anybody who gets painted with a brush like that when it's at best half the story.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? I just, this whole believe all women and women don't lie about these things is just crap. And any woman who went to high school knows it. If you're a woman that lived through junior high, you know believe all women is bullshit. Sorry.
Yeah, that
Like
is
the worst places I've ever worked are in female dominated professions.
Oh
Like
my
working with
God.
a bunch of other women. Ugh.
Yeah, it could get a bit catty. It could get
Oh my God.
Okay, so here's the other one, and I'll just tell this little anecdote because it is kind of in the news. Fred Silverman passed away last night, I guess. He was 84. I guess he was battling cancer. And you're like, who's Fred Silverman? I will tell you who Fred Silverman is. He was the network programming wonder kid back in the 70s. He
Guru.
yes, he took in the 1970s, he took CBS from they hired him. He took CBS from third place and took them to first. He's responsible for shows like MASH and Taxi. He's like, he decided which programs got on the air, and ba boom, the CBS is in first place. Then he gets hired by NBC and starts reprogramming NBC. He runs that whole network, takes them from low to number one. He's responsible for shows like Different Strokes. That was one of his shows that he
Must-see
championed.
TV.
And yeah, amongst others. Then he went to ABC. He didn't get him to number one, but he definitely got them a lot higher up than they were. So Fred Silverman is a legitimate guru, and he had a magic wand. I think he might have been Tim the Tool Man Taylor, Tim Allen show, his first show
Oh,
on
really? The
ABC.
neighbor?
Yeah,
Oh,
that one.
okay. What
So,
was his name? I can't remember. Oh, that's
then I don't remember the neighbor's name, but that's what you need to know. You need to know that once upon a time in the 70s, 80s, and the beginning of the 90s,
This
maybe
dude was responsible for everything you watched.
monster hits.
Right.
Monster hits. So, I want to say it's 2007. And the only reason I'm telling the story is because it was going around on Facebook last night. People were talking, they were telling Fred Silverman stories, and they were telling stories of like encounters with him and run it. So anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So I want to say I was no longer writing on the George Lopez show, and I wasn't writing on Outsourced. I think Outsourced, Outsourced had been not we weren't renewed for a second season. So I'm doing stand up, and Fred Silverman wanted to do a show about politics. He wanted to do a show about politics, so he was going to have a showcase at the Melrose Improv. And a buddy of mine, a friend of mine, got invited to be on the showcase. And he goes, "Are you doing this?" And I go, "I haven't even heard about it." And he goes, "Darn, dude, you're the only guy I know who's doing political stuff. I can't believe you're not in on this." So I call my manager, and they're like, "Yeah, we can't get you on. They don't want to see you." So of course my feelings are horribly hurt. Like, why not me? I'm a funny guy. And then my buddy goes to Fred Silverman's assistant, who was putting the night together. "Why aren't you having Loftus on?" And she had no clue. He shows her some of my stuff, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, we have to have this guy on. That's hilarious. That's hilarious." So I don't know what happened or how. Long story short, I get on this showcase. So packed house at the Melrose Improv, politics, 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 and yours truly. I had a good show. I had a very good show. Fred Silverman comes up to me. We're standing outside of the Melrose Improv, the world famous. I'm having a smoke. Here come, and I recognize the guy. He's a legend. And he's like, "Do you, how much?" He goes, "How much material do you have?" And I go, "Oh, dude, I got a couple hours of material. He's like, political stuff. How much of that? And I'm like, oh, dude, I could easily do, you know, a strong 45 just on politics. And he lights up. He was like shining like a star in the night, like a spotlight. And he goes, I want to see everything. He goes, I think we might be onto something here. I think we might have lightning in a bottle. When are you doing another show? I go, I'm doing a show at the Ice House, like in a couple of days. His wife is with him. He goes, weren't we supposed to go to blah, blah, blah? Cancel that. We're not going to that. We're going to go to the Ice House to watch Michael. So a couple days later, I'm doing stand-up at the Ice House.
Mm-hmm.
Great show. Silverman just gives me this big giant hug at the end, and he goes, you're a star. You're a star. He goes, you know Tim Allen, you know Roseanne, you know, he's listing off these huge names. He goes, you're next, buddy. You're next. Now, at the time, he wasn't running a network, but you can imagine my joy. You can imagine my joy.
Sure.
Here's a guy.
Clout. He's still got clout, right?
Right? Here's a guy who's never been wrong, and he has just anointed. It's like meeting the Godfather. And he goes, right. You're going to be my right-hand man. So he goes, we need a show. Now, as fate would have it, I had a show that was ready to go. It's about me and my wife and the in-laws and this whole thing. It's very funny. It's a script. It's ready to go. And so Fred's like, well, come over to the house, and I want to talk about it. So I go over to his house in Bel Air. Huge. Oh, it's gorgeous. And then he's got a separate house in the back where his office is. Insane. Insane. And he's got pictures on the wall of him on the set of Different Strokes. And he's got copies of Variety magazine, like, you know, NBC and the shares they were getting. This is before cable. The money he made for these people, the ad revenue, the shares. Oh, my Lord. So then Fred Silverman, we're talking about the show that I have the script for. And he goes, okay. What about this? And that's where it all went south. That's where it all went south. What about this? He goes, what if you and your wife, let's just take it. He goes, what if you and your wife had been sponsoring a kid from Africa? And then one day, and this would be the pilot, the kid just shows up at your door. He'd been saving all his money, all the money that you and your wife had sent him. Now you've got this little African kid, and he's adorable. He's adorable. But he's from Africa, and now he's got nowhere else to go, so you and your wife, you have to take him in. And I'm like, okay. And inside, I'm just flipping out. I'm just flipping out because, like, I don't want to do this show. I don't want to write the show. Think about it. Tells me, think about it. So I start thinking about it, and this is one of my big Achilles heels, is that it's all a puzzle to me. It's all a puzzle. Right? Can I make this work? Can I solve this? And then I started thinking about it. I'm like, well, it is kind of interesting. You could do some funny stuff. And then is a kid from Africa, a black kid from Africa, is he black enough in like the black community? How would he be accepted? And then it's kind of an interesting cultural clash, all this other stuff. And I run it by some friends of mine who are phenomenal writers. And they go, wow, that's actually a very interesting take. You could do that. And this is years before I met Trevor Noah, years before I knew Trevor even existed. But like Trevor, that's his whole thing. He's from Africa, but not black enough for America. So there actually was merit to the idea. So we go into NBC. And the guy running NBC at the time is this young upstart named Ben Silverman, who's no longer there. I think he lasted 1 year at NBC. So we go in to NBC, and it's me and it's Fred Silverman, and I'm still kind of on the fence about the idea, but I can't see the merits. So it's me, Ben Silverman, my manager, my agent, two assistants, and then sitting behind this giant desk is Ben Silverman and his two agents. And so we go in, we sit down. And Ben's like, oh, so nice to meet you, Fred. Everybody thinks we're related, but we're not. But we have a great last name. Ha, 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 ha. And he goes, what do you got for me? And Fred Silverman goes, I got this guy right here, Michael. Here, I got a tape. You've got to see this. So the lights go down. Boom, the DVD of me on stage goes in. I'm cracking jokes. I'm telling the audience is dying. Goes on for like 5 minutes. The DVD stops. Ben Silverman has a huge smile on his face, turns around in his chair, looks at me, and he goes, I get it. He's kind of, oh, he's just so happy. I get it. I get it. And then he gets excited. So what do you want to do? And then Fred Silverman, I don't even talk. Fred Silverman launches into, so Mike and his wife have been sending money over to Africa to sponsor an African kid. I see the smile drop from Ben's face. Now he's concerned. And Fred goes, then one day the kid shows up. Now Michael, and then Ben Silverman goes, I got to stop you right there. That would never happen. And Fred goes, no. The kid shows up and they got to raise this African kid. Ben goes, please stop. And so now these guys are like fighting. And Fred Silverman's like yelling, can I finish my sentence? It was the worst meeting. I went from being on cloud nine, I'm the chosen one, to this is going to be all over Hollywood and no one's going to let me develop with them again. It is legendary. They literally, they're yelling at each other. Ben's trying to be cool. Like, no, I don't want to do that. It's racist. It's racist. It's wrong. And Fred's like, no, it's not. It's not racist. It was the worst. It was the worst. That's my Fred Silverman
that's
show.
That's your in memoriam for Fred.
Yes. And then, as fate would have it, he felt bad about that. And I told him, I go, I'm not comfortable pitching this show. And he goes, you're just scared. You're just scared. And I'm like, okay, I'm scared. I go, you can take the meetings. And if you sell it, I'll write it and I'll be in it. But I have to go on the road, but you can sell it. So he went to ABC. I think he went into CBS and they all said, no. He eventually went into ABC Family. He eventually went into ABC Family, and they said no as well. And Fred goes, I think you might have been right. I took no solace in being right.
Right.
However,
well, especially not when you fall from the moon. I mean,
Yeah. So ABC Family, God bless them. I don't know who was running it at the time. They go, listen, we don't want to do that idea of Fred's, but Michael, we think you're hilarious. We think you're funny. Let's develop something with you. So I had a little development deal with ABC Family. I forgot about all this stuff until last night on Facebook. So now we're writing this thing. I'm writing this thing and Fred's giving me notes and I'm like, oh good Lord, why is he giving me notes? So we're about to deliver it to ABC Family, the script. And Fred goes, you got to put in a 13-year-old girl. I'm like, what? He goes, you got to put in a 13-year-old girl. That's the ABC Family demographic. I'm like, Fred, I'm not going to do it. He's like, I'll do it. I'm like, no, I don't want you writing the script, yada, yada. So I threw in like an idiot. Like, this is a great, like, to thine own self be true kind of a lesson that I guess I've really have to learn. Like a moron. I threw in the character of a 13-year-old girl. And I wrote, it was a very funny character and she was original and all this other stuff. And so ABC Family, they read it, and then I get the call from the head of ABC Family. He's like, oh, we love the script. He goes, we can't move forward with it. We can't do the pilot. We're going to do this. He goes, the problem with yours was like, you really didn't need that 13-year-old girl. We got every show we get pitched has a 13-year-old girl in it. And I'm like, well, you know, we can take, but it was already too late. To get rid of that character. So I'm Fred sorry. Silverman, once upon a time, and I tell you what, he was a very sweet man and he was very nice to me. We had a horrible pitch meeting at NBC. But I don't want to like be smart. He was a genius. He was a genius in the 70s and 80s. And then like me, he just dug in and it didn't work out. So I'm the Carter Page of that story. We're bringing it all home. I am the Paul Manafort of that story. I was just following orders. You guys, we might have gone a little bit long. I apologize for that. But that's the format for the show. We got big guests coming up. in the future. I'm not going to name them now because you never know what's going to happen, but they'll be here. The show's going to get more and more fun. I think we found an idea to land on for the Facebook charity thing, but I'll tell you guys about that on Facebook. We are definitely 18,000 strong on the Facebook. Everything's great. Our numbers are good. The president's numbers are good. We're toying around with the idea of doing video for this podcast. I'm just going to tease that. Yikes. Yikes. Daddy got to hit the gym. All right. You guys have a great week. Liberty, is there anything you'd like to say from Camp Gypsy to send us off?
Everybody tune into the State of the Union on Tuesday because it's going to be lit.
Ooh, yeah. Well, that'll be next week's show. Have a great one, you guys. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel and always, always, always go to theloftistparty.com. People are getting booted off of social media like crazy. Love ya.